And you're with Annie and Matt. And on the line, we've got Dr. Vince Scapaturi. How are you, Vince?
Oh, I'm very well, thank you.
Yeah, and we're all on theme, the American expansion into Australia.
Yes.
Yeah.
We had an announcement this week by Richard Miles, Defence Minister Richard Miles, and US Secretary of War Pete Hegseth, that there would be further expansion of the already very high levels of US force posture in Australia under the force posture agreement. It's difficult to think of a more idiotic time to be announcing that we're going to be increasing our integration with the United States when the United States is in the middle of a war where its allies and partners or hosting bases are being pounded as a result of a foolish and illegal war that the United States has launched on Iran. Most of the other countries in the region, in our region, are looking at this and about ways to become more independent, to distance themselves somewhat from the United States, to take a more balanced approach between the two large powers in our region, China and the United States. It's Australia that's the only country, really, one of the very few countries that is trying to find ways to mesh itself even more with the United States military.
It's really quite frightening. You're part of Independent Peaceful Australia Network, IPAN, and you've been keeping an eye on this for quite a long time. And your latest research is that the extent of the US penetration of the Australian continent is becoming incredibly alarming.
Yes, so there was a really important report that was released this week by the Nautilus Institute. Was reported in The Guardian by the journalist Ben Doherty on Monday. The primary researcher was Professor Richard Tanter, Australia's foremost expert on US bases in Australia. And the report revealed something startling. I think most Australians would probably be aware of Pine Gap and perhaps Northwest Cape, the intelligence facilities that US has had in Australia for many decades, since the 1960s. Increasingly more Australians are becoming aware of the force posture initiatives, the B-52s, the B-2s, and of course there's AUKUS. But in fact, this new report, a database compiled by Richard Tanter, shows that the United States military and defence corporations, in fact, have control of or access to over 100 facilities, defence facilities in Australia. Over 100. Across every state and territory except Tasmania, spanning the entire continent. There is a map that people can go and look on and select and see where the bases are, and you can see they're littered across the continent. So the degree, the scale, and the nature of US military force presence in Australia is increasingly concerning, and it's something very new for us. This is not like the alliance of the past. It's not like the alliance of the Cold War. We're entering into kind of new and uncharted territory in terms of our military integration with the United States and what that means for Australia moving forward with the potential for a war in our region, and also what it means for Australia being implicated in potential US nuclear operations, which is very new and very worrying.
Well, as you say, the senior Pentagon officials have identified Australian air bases as strategically valuable for generating long-range bomber strikes and tanker operations in potential conflicts with China. This raises serious questions about the role Australian territory would play in a future US-China conflict. I mean, Americans like to make wars where other people become the focus of the enemy's response.
Yes, that's right. So that was a quote taken by a former senior Pentagon analyst, in fact, commenting on the B-52 Bomber Task Force mission that is present in Australia at this moment. So just last week, we had the first rotation of B-52 bombers to Tyndall Air Base in Northern Territory near Katherine. This comes after extensive upgrades to the base under the Force Posture Initiative to allow the forward deployment of such very heavy bombers to Tyndall. And this is, I believe, the first time that we've had B-52s land at Tyndall, certainly the first time since the upgrades have been completed. And yes, the senior Pentagon, former senior Pentagon official and military war planner made the comment, and he's not the only one, many others have made it, that Australia is becoming increasingly important geographically for any potential US war with China. And that is because Australia is far enough away from most of China's missile forces, not all of them, certainly we could still be targeted, but far enough away from the large numbers of shorter and medium-range missile forces that China has, which are putting US concentrated forces much closer to China, bases in Japan or in Guam or in the Philippines, in danger. And so the US is seeing now that Australia has a very important strategic importance for dispersing its forces, for stationing its forces for logistical purposes, for supply, resupply, for maintenance, as a kind of sanctuary for U.S. force projection forces that could operate here much more safely in a time of war with China. And this has become increasingly apparent with the war in Iran. We've seen how those bases, those Gulf bases very close to the theater of war have been hammered, totally destroyed, in fact, by Iran's missile forces, which are, of course, much inferior to China's missile forces. And so the United States has had to operate much further afield, taking its military forces and space operations further away into Jordan, but particularly also into Israel. And so that same lesson is applicable here in East Asia and Southeast Asia and in Australia, that the U.S. is looking to move part of its force presence further away, and Australia is your ideal location for that.
Yeah, and it's been planned for a considerable amount of time. I mean, some of these plans were put in place or researched from at least 2022. So, I mean, that's quite rapid in terms of the level of resources, but it means that it's quite the public aren't involved in this decision-making and this permanent, us becoming a permanent US base.
No, there is very little transparency around these things. So the initial announcement that Australia would be hosting a contingent of up to six B-52 bombers at Tyndall Air Base, with, I should add, not just the rotation of the bombers, but permanent infrastructure, weapon stores, strategic fuel reserves, command and control centers, the kinds of things that you need, not just for training and interoperability exercises, but to generate and sustain military operations from Australia. This was announced it was reported in 2022 by an ABC Four Corners report. It wasn't an announcement by our government. ABC Four Corners got hold of a tender document that the US military had released on its tender website looking for contractors to build these facilities in Tyndall. So there is, and when it was revealed by Four Corners, Richard Miles at the time tried to play it down, saying this is nothing new. We've had B-52 bombers, you know, coming to Australia since the 1980s. That completely misconstrues the significance of what's going on.
It's interesting. I'm sorry to interrupt. The Australian Institute did a poll, and 59% of respondents said Australia's interests are better served by a more independent foreign policy. I mean, people don't actually support this.
Yes, that's right. I mean, polling is often mixed on this, and it goes up and down. And there is still a large number of Australians who are supportive of the alliance in general. But I also think that many Australians don't really understand necessarily, because it's not well covered in our media, and it's certainly not discussed amongst our political leaders, who, when asked questions about this, do their best to brush it under the rug. I don't think the full implications of the forced posture initiatives and the rapid expansion of US military presence in Australia, what that means for us. I think there's an increasing level of understanding about that. There's an increasing level of nervousness about Australia's closeness with the United States, particularly with this particular Trump administration. Everyone can see the absolute idiocy and foolishness and dangerousness of this current administration and what it has done in the Middle East and to the global economy. And I think people are responding to that. But I also think that if Australians really fully and completely understood what the implications here were for Australia, that there would be even greater levels of concern. And I think that's exactly why, the Australian government twists itself into a pretzel whenever it's asked about US bases on Australia, saying that, no, we don't have US bases. We have rotations of forces. They do not want to admit or acknowledge the fact that there are bases here, because they know the political sensitivities around it.
Vince, it's Matthew. I think a pretty good example of the Australian government's getting itself in contortions is when America struck Iran, and we're all aware that they hit that primary school. And Albo and Wong and others, they were speaking in very terms that were pretty much supportive and gave posturing for that. I think that's pretty disturbing. It's a stark example of that.
So, yes, absolutely, I agree. The Australian government was asked explicitly multiple times, Penny Wong, Prime Minister Albanese, Richard Marles, to comment on the clear illegality of the US and Israeli war on Iran. And Australia would not comment, refused to say clearly that, and to condemn this illegal action. In fact, we participated in it by sending assets and through intelligence contributions. Of course, we're very careful to frame this as defensive actions in support of the Gulf states and not active contribution to U.S. attacks on Iran. But still, the government harps on about the international rules-based order. Well, by refusing to condemn a state that is breaching that rules-based order, we are contributing to the decline of that rules-based order and decline of international law. And that is clearly not in Australia's interest by the Australian government's own admission.
We have to finish soon, but the fact that there's been an increase in the defence spending program, $117 billion to the 10-year defence spending program, and this is at the same time as there are so many issues socially and, we're not taking care of our communities. But they're putting money into what is going to be for America's forever wars. The only people who make money out of this are the weapons manufacturers, and they never want wars to finish.
Yes, and I couldn't agree more.
I'm sorry, it's just infuriating.
It is infuriating, and it's, the Australian government, the Albanese government, justifies increase in military spending in Australia, the military build-up in Australia, including the U.S. military build-up, as a response to China's increasing military capability. That's the justification for it. Well, just recently, the Trump administration announced its intention to increase the U.S. military budget to $1.5 trillion. That increase, that annual increase alone, would be greater the entire military budget of China.
Yeah, and the ridiculous thing about this is that China is our largest
trading partner.
Yeah.
How stupid.
So every other country in the region understands and is getting this. Every other country in the region, with the potential exception of Japan, is trying to play a hedging game between China and the United States. Australia, on the other hand, is in complete 100% full alignment with the United States. And there is an argument that one could make, a defensible argument, that Australia and other countries in the region might want to hedge against the possibility of an increasingly aggressive and expansionist China. I think the possibility is actually quite remote, personally, but I think there is a defensible argument that one could make, particularly for those countries that are bordering China or close to China and have territorial disputes with China. I can understand why you would want to hedge against China. That would make sense. Australia is thousands of kilometres away. We have the least to be concerned about the rise of China. I'm not saying we have zero concerns, but we have the least strategic consequences from the rise of China. And yet, we are the ones who are militarily building up and aligning ourselves with the United States the most. And the question that's never asked is, who's going to hedge or who's going to balance against the United States?
Yeah. And we might leave it there, Vince.
No worries. Thanks for having me.
Thanks, Vince.